The Watson Weekly Podcast is sponsored by Mirakl. Because traditional e-commerce is just code for not growing, it's time to do better than the status quo. Join over 450 retailers who are scaling six times faster with AI, automation, and a platform built for what's next. Marketplace, dropship, and retail media at enterprise-grade scale. It's time to accelerate with Mirakl. It's September 1st, 2025. And this is the Watson Weekly, your essential e-commerce digest. Today on our show, Best Buy relaunches its marketplace. Target earnings are like a slow-moving train wreck. Upcoming RMW Commerce events in the second half of the year. And Walmart raises revenue guidance in earnings call. And finally, the Investor Minute, which contains five items this week from the world of venture capital, acquisitions, and IPOs. But first, in our shopping cart full of news, Best Buy relaunches a marketplace. Ad revenue is the biggest difference now. While choosing a third-party provider to build a marketplace is a different proposition in 2025 than in 2011 when it was first launched, i.e. build versus buy, there is quite another big difference. Can you guess what it is? My bet it's the freight train called Amazon's advertising business in particular and retail media generally. In 2016, Best Buy shut down the U.S. third-party marketplace citing less than 1% of revenue contribution, meaning who cares? Yet in 2015, let's call this the year that Best Buy may have made the decision to shut it down, Amazon's quote-unquote other revenue was around $1 billion, of which advertising was always projected to be the biggest component of this number. Raise your hand if you remember when Amazon did not even break out their advertising business. In 2025, that number is $61 billion. Just Amazon's advertising business alone is much bigger than Starbucks, Netflix, Nike, and Salesforce. Somehow, this is quite easily forgotten. And while Amazon doesn't break out operating margin for the ad business, you can pretty much bet that this is one of their most profitable businesses. Some analysts model it at 55% operating margin. Think Best Buy would like a mulligan on its retail media decision? The story of Best Buy in the past several years has been reclaiming better service to customers, as well as the profit contribution of warranties and other services. As Lowe's CEO and others have clearly stated, the road to profitable media and service revenue truly runs through a marketplace model. And while investment is needed, the payoff is super clear at scale. Target earnings are like a slow-moving train wreck. Target recently reported its Q2 2025 earnings, as well as a CEO transition plan. Here are my four takeaways from Target's earnings call. First, Target Plus Marketplace remains shackled. One of the only parts of the business with double-digit comps, as well as the key to unlocking more advertising growth, is still an invite-only affair. 6 years on, this is simply not good enough. Two, new leadership smells like the old leadership. Words like Enterprise Acceleration Office and renaming categories of goods to fun sounds like gimmicks and warmed-over process re-engineering than consumer excitement. The Target CEO has stepped down, Brian Cornell, from a slowly sinking ship next February, replaced by a 20-year vet. This is apparently new thinking to inspire fast action. The key theme of this fast-moving speedboat? Process re-engineering through faster tech. Third point is Target still does not have a chief marketing officer. In a world where marketing beats merchandising, this is an incredibly large gap. No update on the search. Merchandising Forever bumper stickers seen at Minneapolis headquarters. Also, followed by similar stickers like, our products market themselves. Not in 2025 will this work. You're still not reading the room. Fourth, financial analysts are increasingly aggressive in their line of questioning with the company. It was actually quite shocking to me to see some of these bold questions. You would think they were from a jilted lover instead of a calm stock analyst. Let me give you a little game of what they asked and what they meant. What they asked was, how does the succession plan improve business trajectory? What they meant was, Seems like the same group shuffled again, eh? Yikes. That was a starting point. Question 2, what they asked. Quantify investments in margin and capital to beat your peers. What they mean is, please be more specific. Of course, the answer included no actual numbers. Question 3, what they asked. How will the new succession plan help with your $15 billion sales target over the next 5 years? What they meant was, did I mention be more specific? That answer just said we had a sequential improvement over negative comps. Great, but... Question 4. Please be more specific about your merchandising and pricing strategies relative to your peers to grow the business. What they meant was, like a pack of wolves, we will not let this same question drop. The answer included the fact that they renamed Hardlines to Fun. And this really feels like a good place to end on the Target earnings call. Our third story, upcoming events in the second half of the year. There's a lot more upcoming in the next few months, a new pod about the drop, a refreshed media brand, planning for a new subscriber experience, and a slew of events in the back half of the year on the road to our second annual RMW Commerce NRF event. The only way to ensure you're not missing out is to subscribe to our mailing list, which is linked below. First is the launch of Oh Shift, an exclusive interview with SVP and CEO-level leaders like Tomer Tigrin on the collision between AI and SaaS and the good and bad that is wrecking inside companies. A master of ceremonies and panel moderator at the Nosto Crayfish Party. In New Orleans, we would call it crawfish, but this Southerner understands the Swedes like Jim Lofgren. There's an upcoming panel discussion at the Rhythm Live event that will be moderating there in NYC. I'm also podcasting at the upcoming Shopware Shoptoberfest event in Brooklyn. Check me out there with my man Jason Nias. Rumor has it, Vinnie O'Brien will be called by the pipes like Danny Boy. Also, my partner Nick Kaplan will be out in Chicago for the Shop Talk event. Check him out there. Additionally, we are about to mark up an exclusive New York City RMW Commerce Breakfast Series here in a moment. And excited to see all this great content and events drop upcoming. And our last story. Walmart raises earnings guidance in earnings call. Walmart said on their call that they've been building two profit and loss statements for some time. One retail P&L that everyone has, but another that really only Walmart and Amazon have at scale, which includes marketplace, commissions, membership, advertising, and data. Late last week, Walmart reported fiscal year 2026 Q2 earnings. It's still safe to say Walmart is one of the best executing retailers right now. Here are the top hits across the business, and there are a lot of interesting callouts that we can learn from. Overall, Walmart executed 7,000 price rollbacks last quarter, up 2,000 from the previous quarter. Grocery rollbacks are up 30%. 50% of incremental profit is related to advertising, membership, and marketplace. Repeat that back to yourself. 50%. On the consumer and tariffs, lower and middle income consumers are trading off more than higher income, and they're having to roll back more to compensate. Walmart had a great back to school, which, according to Walmart executives, is predictive of holiday performance. The top back to school items had lower prices this year than last year. On e-commerce, Walmart e-commerce growth is now up to 26% year over year, and it was previously at 22%. Acceleration. Fashion in particular has been great. And by the way, that statement, our fashion business has been great, no one else is saying that but Walmart. And the company is saying our share in e-commerce is still relatively low. They have a long runway. This should scare a lot of people. On advertising, this is what I'm talking about, Target. Walmart reported 50% growth globally year over year and 30% in the United States. On marketplace, the company is up to 500 million marketplace items and grew the marketplace by 17% globally. 44% of marketplace sales are fulfilled by Walmart, which is up 250 basis points year over year. On Walmart supply chain, 1/3 of same-day deliveries are now under 3 hours, and 20% of same-day is delivered in 30 minutes. Previously, they covered 93% of the country in 3 hours through their store network, will be 95% by the end of the year. there are a lot of speed improvements in supply chain are being driven by store fulfillment. And the fact that Walmart has a metric for the percentage of same-day deliveries in under 30 minutes should scare a lot of people. On AI, Walmart is saying that improvements from AI are not yet being reflected in top-line sales. Their investments are biased towards growth, but they're not yet producing growth. So what does that tell you? It'll probably be a minute for you guys out there in the audience too. To continue their investment, Walmart created two new AI roles, one reporting to the CEO and the other reporting to the CTO. These results from Walmart had been coming from years of investments in marketplace, advertising, and supply chain. The playbook is clear and the results are working. Target, on the other hand, is in the corner sucking its thumb. Amazon is also getting faster, but through a completely different supply chain model than Walmart. It's that time, friends, for our Investor Minute. We have five items on the menu today. First, DOSS acquires Shopify inventory platform, Genie. San Francisco-based ERP platform, DOSS, announced its acquisition of UK-based Shopify-native inventory platform, Genie, for an undisclosed amount. Second, LVMH in talks to sell Marc Jacobs. French luxury goods platform LVMH is reportedly in discussions to sell fashion brand Marc Jacobs for a reported $1 billion as part of a strategic realignment to streamline its portfolio of brands. Third, Barrow Holdings acquires AO2 Management, strengthening Amazon expertise. Barrow Holdings, a specialized agency holding company, has announced that it's acquired AO2 Management, a full-service Amazon agency, for an undisclosed amount. AO2 Management will operate as a standalone entity in the Barrow Holding portfolio. Congrats to my friend Peter Kang on this acquisition. Fourth, Magentic emerges from stealth and raises $5.5 million. UK-based AI agent platform for supply chain savings, Magentic, emerged from stealth, announced a $5.5 million investment, which will be invested in growing operations and product development. And finally, Rokt acquires Canal to expand e-commerce offering. Rokt, a customer experience platform, has announced that it's acquired Canal, a distributed commerce infrastructure platform, for an undisclosed amount. Rokt has now launched Rokt Catalog, which provides it with expanded e-commerce capabilities. Did you know that RMW Commerce has another podcast? Check out the Watson Weekend for an unfiltered and lively e-commerce chat each week with me, Rick Watson, my co-host, Jess Lisewski, and an array of interesting guests and topics, all focused on e-commerce. You can find The Watson Weekend by searching for it on iTunes, Spotify, or YouTube. That's all for this week. Till next time, Watsonians. Hi, I'm Rick Watson, CEO and founder of RMW Commerce Consulting and host of the Watson Weekly Podcast, your essential e-commerce digest. To hear new episodes of the show every Monday morning, subscribe now at rmwcommerce.com/Watson Weekly and wherever you get your podcasts.